So we're starting a brand new series today for 7 weeks. We're going to walk through the Beatitudes over the summer. So I'll do 3 weeks and then I'm away for four. And then I'll come back and do the next four for you. I have some wonderful people. My friend Jim Hetherington is going to preach over the summer, and Steph is going to take a Sunday, and a young woman called Madison is going to take one Sunday as well. So you're going to be in really good hands. When we think of the Beatitudes, it always starts with blessed. The Greek word for that we use for blessing is the word makarios, which can also be translated as happy or joyful. So instead of saying blessed, we can say happy are those who are, or joyful are those. The question is this: where does happiness start? What makes us happy? How do we feel? How do we think we need to feel to be happy? Gavin Reed, way back in the 70s, wrote a little book called A New Happiness, where he was talking about the Beatitudes. And he asked that question specifically: where does happiness start? Because for him, what happened is this. He was a young pastor in the UK in a church, and he was doing really well. Congregation was doing well. He had a beautiful place that he could live in. They were well taken care of. He had a wife. He had a family. Life was really, really good. Couldn't be better. And then, all of a sudden, there was this thing called the Six-Day War that happened when Egypt and Jordan and Syria and Palestine decided to attack Israel. And he said in that moment, it felt like his whole world just ended, because he was afraid that the U.S. was going to help, and then Russia was going to come in from the other side, and it was going to be the Third World War. He says, and all of a sudden, his happiness was gone. And he asked himself the question, but where does happiness start? Because for him, his happiness he found in his optimism about, oh, I have a great church and all is going well and it's good. And all of a sudden it was like, I'm not sure it's so great just to have a great church. His happiness was found in his material possessions, in the stuff that he had. He said, but now all of a sudden he was thinking, where will I take my family to hide when the bombs start flying? Made sure that there was gas in the car every night, that if they needed to get away, they could get away. So he was living with this fear, and all of a sudden, none of this stuff mattered anymore. He said he found that he found his happiness in not thinking negative things. Life was just all fairy tales and unicorns, and all was just beautiful. And he realized, but that's not where you find happiness, because it comes like this and it goes like that. And I could have just said, we wrote a book just the other day, because in December of 2019, a thing called COVID happened. And it took the foundation from under us. And none of us knew what was going to hit us. And if you looked around, you saw lots of folks lose their happiness. Where does happiness start? And how does it keep being part of my life? Matthew chapter 5, and I think I gave them to you in the wrong order, Ted. Matthew 5, verse 3. And I'm going to read the NIV and then the NLT, both for you. Matthew 5 says, it starts with a specific kind of poverty. That's where happiness starts, with a specific kind of poverty. Read with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is a direct translation of the Greek. Makarios toi tuchoi tu pneumati. Tuchoi means poor and pneumati means spirit. So it's just a direct translation. The New Living Translation hits it way closer to home. It says this: God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who realize their need for him. Happiness starts with a specific poverty. Realizing that what the world gives, what I think makes me happy, all the stuff that happens in the world, all the stuff I have in the world, it's fleeting and it goes and it's gone, and I can be rich in all of that and I can be so poor, but I am so blessed. The day that I can stand before God with my old beggar hands and say, Lord, I have everything and I have nothing, but I have you and I need you. There's a beautiful song that we sing, Lord, I need you every moment. I need you. And the reason I say this is because if you read the whole Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to do a big part of that, you see that the background for this comes from Isaiah chapter 61. The Lord Jesus uses that as the background. And Carrie, I'm sure you guys didn't know this when you chose Graves into Gardens, but that's actually where the song comes from. And you'll hear that when we read this. Listen, listen to the poor. Who are the poor? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. How do they look like? He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against the enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, and festive praise instead of despair. Who are the poor? Not those with heroic faith, not those who think I can do it myself, not those who have moved mountains. Who are the poor? Those of us who stand before God and mourn. Because some days, Lord, it just is so hard to get out of bed. Those of us who struggle, because some days, Lord, I just don't know what the next week is going to look like. Who are the poor? Those of us who every day get up out of bed and say, Lord, thank you for the gift of this day, and all I will be able to do will be done because you are going to be there to carry me, to hold me, to walk with me, because I can't do it on my own. Blessed are those who are poor and realize their need for God. For there is a new happiness that comes with that. Not a happiness that is fleeting in a moment, but a happiness that comes from knowing that I am in His hand, and in His hand, I am safe. So three little remarks from that. This happiness comes to those who are humble and realize the inability of their own capacity. That beautiful Greek word that I used for you that I said we translate with poor, the tuchoi, means folks who realize that their capacity would never be enough. They don't have enough to care for themselves, so they are dependent. Happiness starts for those who are humbled in their own capacity. Because sometimes this world in which we live, boy, are we strong. I can do it. We are taught, be independent, do your own thing. The word says, the day you learn that whatever you have, whatever you can do, is nothing. But when you can stand before God, He is the one who picks you up, who carries you. Because for many of us, and I think COVID taught us a huge lesson in that, we live in a world, we live in an amazing country where we just have everything, and we had everything, and everything was perfect, and we could complain because the coffee's not warm enough. And when COVID hit, all of a sudden supply chains dried up. The lumber that we could just cut off and throw away, all of a sudden now is really expensive. And we realized, wow. Things that we just took for granted every day, they were gone. And I was saying, what now? We lived in this beautiful comfort that I could just come to church every Sunday. It was cool. And everyone was there. And all of a sudden, the church is empty. That hit me so hard. And my happiness disappeared. Because this is my joy, this is my happy place, to be with you, to worship with you. And I had to sit down and say, what happened, Lord? And I had to realize, because maybe, Aubrey, you were looking for that happiness in the wrong place. They're still there. All you do now is you speak to a camera. They're watching, and they're still hearing God's word, and God is still doing God's thing, not you doing your thing. Your happiness is bringing the word of the Lord and letting the word of the Lord do what it does best, and that will change people's lives. And I had to learn that. We had to learn so many other things. For parents, all of a sudden, where's Scott? Happiness was hard because all of a sudden they had to sit at home and homeschool the kids. And teachers were struggling because their happiness is taking care of them. Happiness starts when we are humble about our own capacities. Humble and learn, says the message. I don't know if you have this one. Did I give you this, Ted? I think so. Matthew 5 in the message says, you're blessed when you've come to the end of your rope. Because with less of you, there is more of God and His rule. Happiness starts when I've come to the end of my rope. And then I can say, well, Lord, I'm done. I can't. And God says, that's good, because I have so much more. I have so much more that I can give you. I have so much more that I can do. I have so much more that I can use you for. Good for coming to that end of that rope and realizing my little capacity, Lord, is so little. I am so desperate for you. Blessed are the desperate, for God will bring a new happiness. There's a second thing that when we read this. How do we deal with our desperation? When we get desperate, how do we deal with that? Well, sometimes we deal with it. Some folks will start doing things they shouldn't be doing. Start drinking too much or using all kinds of stuff. Or fall into traps of things that they would have never have done before. Or run around. What do we do? John 6, I think, gives the answer. Jesus speaks to this huge crowd. And he talks to them about the cost of following him. And they're all excited. And then they hear the cost of following him. Stuff like carry your cross. Stuff like die for yourself. Stuff like turn your back on the world. And they say, we're out of here. We're done. And then Jesus looks at Peter and the disciples and he said, what about you? Don't you want to leave too? Peter says, where will we go, Lord? John 6, verse 60, Peter, I see you're looking for it. Where will we go, Lord? Because you alone have the words of life. Where do we go with our desperation to find a new happiness? To you, Lord. Because you have the words of life. Lord, I'm tired. I don't think I can do that. I know, Aubrey. Why do you think I'm there? Get on my back. Let's go. You have the words of life. Lord, life's a little too hard. I can't do this. I've lost my joy. It's okay, Aubrey. Walk with me. Listen to the Spirit. When the Spirit sings in your soul and in your heart, and allow the Spirit to lift you up and teach you to breathe again. Because I bring, we sang it, beauty for ashes. For those who mourn, I will bring dancing. For those who suffer, I will bring new life when you seek me. Let me end. Last thing. We are humble in our capacity. We know that we need to go back to God. And the last thing where happiness starts is that we learn how dependent we are on God. And if there's one thing that I think the last nearly 3 years have taught us, is how dependent we are on God. Because although everything else changed, our world changed, our mindsets changed, the one thing that never changed was God. He never turned his back on us, did he? He never let go of our hands, did he? Did he carry us through when we were all buying toilet paper instead of food? Right? And he still provided so that there was food on my table. We had heat in our homes when it was cold winter. We could still pick up a phone and say, "Hey, Peter, how are you?" We need to remember that we stand before God dependent and we deserve nothing. But in the moment, I can come with my little beggar hands and say, "That's me, Lord. It's me again." He doesn't say, "Hey, you've got your ration for the week. Come back next week." Lord says, "Let me give you more. Cornelia, you need a little more. I'll give you a little more. Doris, a little more for you too." When we realize how dependent we are. Thomas Green, wonderful missionary work that he did, beautiful book, talks about his work in Manila in the Philippines. And he said he was teaching these seminary students, but one day they went out to a lake and he wanted to explain something to them. And he wanted them to go into the water and just lie back on their backs, and he wanted to show them how to float. And he said they didn't want to do that because they didn't know how to swim. So they didn't know how to float, and they were scared to death because they thought the only way that you could keep on top of this water was to swim and go as mad and fast as you can. And all they realized is they were sinking. And then he went in there and he said, "Look," and he went and he lay back and he just floated. That's where happiness starts. The day that I learn that I'm dependent on God and I don't have to swim and I don't have to kick and I don't have to exert. I have to just lay back and let him do his work. And he will let me float because of his grace. Happiness starts the day I come to the end of my rope. And I stand before him and say, "You take over, Lord, and I'll be okay." Amen. Pray with me. Father God, Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for reminding us who we are. Blessed. Blessed are those who realize their need for God. And we need you. Every moment of our lives. Even in the moments when we think we're okay and we can run and we can do it all, we know that we need you. And thank you that you are there. Thank you that you remind us that from Isaiah. That you are there to set the captives free, because sometimes we are so captive in all of the things of the world. Thank you that you turn that mourning into dancing, because sometimes all we see is the darkness and we do not see the light that you've already given. That you have come to take the ashes and bring beauty for ashes. That you turn graves into gardens and bring a new happiness that is found in you and being dependent on you. We glorify your holy name as we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.